Pete Weber. He is the voice of the Nashville Predators, and didn't have Pete scheduled this morning because, I could have Pete on every day, as a matter of fact. But when I was watching that game last night, the Sharks, if you hadn't seen it, Sharks come back and beat the Golden Knights last night 5-4 in overtime in a very controversial, something that I hadn't seen before as well. 4 goals in 4 minutes of a 5-minute major power play, and they go ahead and win that with a lot of controversy to it and just the historical perspective. Pete Weber, voice of the Preds. Good morning, Pete. How are you, man?
I'm doing fine. I'm a little bit tired taking in that whole game and the Leafs-Bruins game that preceded that. But what fascinating drama that was last night.
Well, the Bruins go ahead and take care of the Leafs 5-1, and it looks like, and I had the game on, and it was like 3-0, and here the Golden Knights are in control, and yes. Andre Fleury is doing what he does in Game 7s through his career. And then, to let people know, on a face-off, Sharks captain Joe Pavelski sort of got shot in the face, took a shot in the face. He was spinning and turning around and got driven or cross-checked was the call by Cody Eakin, the five-minute major, and then 4 goals in 5 minutes. So the Sharks go from down 3-0, up 4-3. Jordan Marchessault ties it up with 47 seconds. Then Barclay Goodrow, a little-used player, scores the game winner late, with 1:41 to go in the first overtime period. But, I tell you what, if you want a record for F-bombs in a press conference, it was the Golden Knights last night after that.
Yeah, it was, and I understand why. And it's interesting that, yes, there was a cross-check that was called on Cody Eakin, but I think the more injurious of the two hits was the follow-up by Paul Stastny, which is what actually tripped up Pavelski and caused his head to hit the ice as it did. But now, I've received so many comments from people at the time and on into this morning that should not have been a major penalty. But all I can say is if you're an official and you're in a league where they are concerned about headshots and something like that happens, you don't have much time to try to decide what you're going to do. And I think the major penalty at the time, in the circumstance, seeing Joe Pavelski helped off the ice, down the ice as long as he was, I have a difficult time arguing with that.
And I'm going to play both sides because just for the sake of argument. But, if Pavelski would have popped back up, it would have been a minor, or maybe not even. Maybe the Golden Knights are contending, the arm weren't even raised until they went over and saw how badly hurt Pavelski was. And that's when they actually called the major that they might not even called a minor at all. And so I think they're calling the result and not the action of the cross check or even the hit before that, as you mentioned on the faceoff. So I think they're officiating the result and not the play itself.
Well, that's my complaint with the Department of Player Safety when they hand out their suspensions or decide not to hand out suspensions, because there have been some acts that have been very egregious but did not result in injury, and so a guy goes off, if you will, scot-free. But I think last night, in the pressure of the moment, I think they probably made the right call.
Yeah, it was, but then you look at it, and I guess you say, hey, okay, after giving up that first Couture goal, he turns to the bench, that's one, and you think, okay.
Right.
And then he has another one, Hurdle, LeBlanc, and then it's 4-3. Have you ever seen that kind of turnaround? I mean, four, obviously, let people know that, on a major, after a power play goal, it remains a power play through the duration of the major. And have you ever seen anything like that? Four goals in basically 4 minutes?
No, I have not. But I will say, and I likened this on Twitter last night to the greatest comeback in playoff history that I was there for at the Forum in Los Angeles in April of 82. The Edmonton Oilers had a 5-0 lead after two periods and end up losing 6-5 in overtime, where the Kings looked totally dead. And then they came back and only helped by one minor penalty and a power play goal. But they come back and win that one on a goal by now current Kings color commentator Darrell Evans, 6-5. So it was similar to that, but it was not propelled by a major penalty call.
Yeah, and you know, and Charlie and I were talking about this earlier. Just, hey, okay, you're still up 3-0. You're still up 3-1. You're still up 3-2. You're still tied 3-3. And then now you're down 4-3. Maybe have a penalty kill in there somewhere.
It might help. It just might help. Marc-Andre Fleury, they did a pretty good job of getting traffic in front of him, obviously, to have that much success. Because Fleury has been a clutch goaltender his entire career. And what day did his career actually begin in the NHL? When he was drafted first overall at what is now Bridgestone Arena when the NHL draft was here in 2003.
Pete Weber.
We've been watching quite some time.
Pete Weber, voice of the Predators, with us. And just following up with that. And, you know, you also go tonight. A lot of people are not going to feel sorry for them. You're up, 3-1. You have plenty of opportunity to close that series out, and you lose 3 in a row. You put yourself in that situation. But I just thought, I don't think I'd ever seen that. And I couldn't help but think, and we're going to talk about, obviously, the Preds here in a few moments, but I couldn't obviously think to my mind, a little bit of a cynicist, so that's what a power play goal looks like. But, you know,
I understand that.
So four of them in 4 minutes as well. And now it's the Bruins. I'm looking ahead, but the Sharks and the Blues. What do you think about that series? I know it starts Friday night in St. Louis. The Sharks and the Avs. I've written that down and I've got it wrong. The Sharks and the Avs.
Right. Now, I think we got to talk about the Avs, who surprised everybody stretching the Predators out in the first round last year. And that stretching out very well might have been the Predators' demise heading into the next series, which they lost to Winnipeg. But I think that the Avs have been greatly overlooked. They have, what are they, like 14-2-2, including the playoffs in their last 18 games. They've been absolutely fantastic. And yes, they have that number one line, but they have fortified themselves elsewhere, signing Ian Cole on defense, getting Philip Grubauer from the Washington Capitals, who has a championship pedigree, and not bad to be backed up by Semyon Varlamov. But this Blue Star series that begins on Thursday, I'm hoping to be able to get over to St. Louis for at least one of those. And this absolutely fascinates me when you consider the third and fifth teams in the Central Division, and I'm not complaining about the playoff format at all, but they're going to be fighting to move on out of the division round into the conference final. And both teams have been absolute monsters coming down the stretch.
At Pete Weber Sports on Twitter, Pete, you know, I wasn't going to ask you that, but you brought it up. I saw a poll, and I thought it was would have been more about, you know, the current format or just going back maybe to the 8-1, 2-7, and like. And quite frankly, I like that. I understand trying to grow rivalries and everything, but I still like the 1-8. But then again, if you look at the NBA on this weekend, for the first time ever, all 8 road teams won, and they were the higher seed. So maybe it's not such a good idea, but.
Maybe they don't have the parity in that league that we have in this one.
Well, they don't. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I mean, when you have 2-8s, you know, advance and win 4-0-1, the other 4-1. But I saw a poll that only like 47-48% want to change. I thought it would be higher than that.
Yeah, you'll hear it from some quarters that they want that. And I think it does get frustrating. I remember this is the way it was in the 80s, in my early time in the league, where you had to effectively get out of your division, but we didn't have the wild cards then. So it's a little bit more, I think, complicated than that right now.
Hurricanes Capitals tonight, another game 7. And, you know, of course, the Bruins took care of the Leafs last night as well. But Hurricanes Capitals in D.C. tonight. So we'll get another game 7.
We get another game 7 and a chance for the last of the 4 division winners to get knocked out of the playoffs. How about that? First round of the playoffs, the 4 division winners all eliminated. I think that's the possibility of it alone is staggering to me. But if anything were to demonstrate the parity within the NHL, that certainly does.
That's never happened before either, right? As I understand it, that the 4 division winners.
Well, of course, we haven't had the 4 divisions, but for a long time.
Right.
But this is something special, and as Don Cherry calls them, that bunch of jerks in Carolina have accomplished, forcing this 7th game, I think, is something they're to be commended for.
Pete, obviously the Preds disappointing that they didn't get out of the first round, falling 4-2, and they really had a lot of jump, Monday night in Dallas. I don't know that I saw that the entire series, but just a tough one. And now the ball's in David Poole's court. What is he going to do? There's a lot of decisions to be made with this team.
Are there ever? And not perhaps as many as Winnipeg has to deal with. But still, yes, a lot of decisions that need to be made. Do you throw the baby out with the bathwater and just try to start all over? Very difficult to do in the salary cap era. But David Poile has certainly shown in the past quite resourceful in terms of making changes that he feels he needs to make, including one several summers ago where I got the phone call that my son Shea Weber was no longer a Predator.
and certainly the one that will not be an impact will be Pekka, and you got to feel bad for him because I mean he stole a couple games in that series, quite frankly, and you feel bad for Pekka.
I definitely do, and it's like you can oftentimes say you don't deserve, but what he has, he certainly didn't deserve the loss, that's for certain. And without him, I don't know if the team is even into the playoffs. So I think that's the basic decision to be made there.
How do you decompress at the end of a season? Because you've gone now, since mid-October on the road and everything. You have a little bit of a break around the All-Star break, but whatever. But how do you decompress? How do you not – because obviously you would have hoped to be doing a Game 7 tonight.
Right. And what I'm doing is I'm watching as much hockey as I can get. I'm not – I don't think ready to fully decompress right now. I will find myself – falling asleep very quickly on occasion, and that's part of the rest and recuperation, to be sure. But as I said, I want to try to go to St. Louis for either Game 1, Game 2, or both of this next series with Dallas just to stay in contact with the game that I love. And who knows, I might be able to add in a Cardinals game as well.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking about going last night and then today, the Cardinals and the Brewers. It was a night, and then they're playing around noontime today, but I didn't make it. But anyway, what are you thinking about the Blues and the Stars? What about that series?
I think the Blues, I predicted they fell slightly short of that. I thought when they went on that hot streak in early January, when they were last overall in the entire league and then just accelerated as they did, I thought they were en route to the division title. But the way things are going right now, again tonight, if the Capitals lose, that's four division winners. That's all we have in the league, would fall in the first round. Maybe that wouldn't have been the best of choices for them. But they're getting fantastic goaltending from Jordan Binnington. They swarm you offensively and defensively. I think they have a little bit more than Dallas has, and no disrespect to them, but that's that number one line for the Stars is the one that obviously inflicts the most damage, and it was really only put back together midway through the series with Nashville. So what they can do, if they can do anything to stop that line, but then the mobile defense that Dallas has, and I became a guy who, if you could buy stock in players in the NHL, I think I'd buy stock right now in Stars defenseman Miro Heiskanen. At 19 years of age, and he's a darn leader out there and an incredible defenseman. Very skilled, both offensively and defensively.
Also, tomorrow night, the Bruins, after beating the Leafs in Game 7 last night, the Blue Jackets, they've been off since, about, it seems like they hadn't played in a month. After sweeping Tampa Bay. What do you think about the Bruins? And now, of course, they go with the turnaround, Tuesday Game 7, a Thursday, welcome Columbus.
Yeah, kind of like what happened last year with the going to the conference final with Winnipeg and Vegas. Winnipeg came through a tough 7-game series with Nashville, won game one, and then Vegas ran over them. So it's difficult to figure out. But I like what's going on in the league right now, Greg. It's been so much fun to watch. And the fact that we have to go back to actually play the games rather than defer to chalk going in from favorites and underdogs and all that has made this incredible theater to me.
Well, and it makes the, you a lot of times in other sports, so when teams have clinched, you know, baseball especially, you know, they'll, you know, with the expanded roster that happens on September 1st, and if, you know, if you got an 8-game lead and, you know, with 2 weeks, you put it on cruise control. But in baseball, it's a different animal. You can't, there's no really on switch, off switch in that sport, because there's not the physical contact of it or everything. And maybe even football to a point, because it's a week to week type situation. In hockey, unlike even the NBA, because they coast all the time until the playoffs.
Well, it's load management. Great.
Load management. But the only sport where I think it really doesn't matter the seeding, it's what you are going into it, and you're almost better off. We've seen the President's Trophy winner 2 years in a row get bounced one without a playoff series win this year, and the Preds last year were just one playoff series round win. It's really about who's playing well when the postseason starts.
Well, the President's Trophy thing, since the Predators came into existence in 1998, I believe only three President's Trophy winners have gone on to win the Cup. And one of those was in that shortened 2012-2013 year where the Chicago Blackhawks emerged triumphant. So, yeah, it's difficult. Now, I got to tell you one thing, but if you're going to look for storylines, maybe I'm totally off base on this, but right now I think the Columbus Blue Jackets equal the 2017 Nashville Predators. Last team to make the playoffs, knock off the favorite, in this case, the Tampa Bay Lightning, in the Predators' case, the Chicago Blackhawks, and who knows how far that can take them. I know their enthusiasm in the community is absolutely huge. On Monday, they had an open practice at Nationwide Arena, and over 5,500 people showed up. So they are taking that team direct to their heart.
I just, you say that, but I just can't see them beating the Bruins. I can't wrap my mind around it. But then again, who thought that it would sweep Tampa Bay either?
Right. But, that's the thing.
You know, but you talk about a trade, like, I guess Matt Duchene's working out pretty well there, right?
Yes, he is. And now they're wondering if they're going to be able to re-sign him. But hey, enjoy what you have right now, because that's the very same situation with goaltender Sergei Bobrovsky, who's been fantastic, and forward Artemi Panarin.
Pete, thanks for jumping on with us. I just, if anybody hasn't seen it, they go back and obviously it's all over the place and on the internet, and just about how that game last night with the Sharks and Golden Knights transpired. And in my limited knowledge, I had never seen anything like that. And when you tell me you hadn't, that shows the significance of it.
Well, Justin, I've got a pretty long memory. So, yeah, there you go.
You do. Hey, Pete, thank you, man. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, and best to you and our buddy Crazy Charlie.
All right, thank you. Pete Weber, voice of the Predator. Pretty